Blog Talk Radio.
Urban Literary Review, where literature and urban meet. Hosted weekly by Tia from DC Bookman and Martin from Culture First. Urban Literary Review comes on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/Urban Literary Review. Urban Literary Review comes on twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Our mission is to shine a positive light on the urban literary industry by promoting literature and discussing issues that are pertinent to the growth of the industry. In addition to being an online radio show, Urban Literary Review also provides authors with promotion to over 15,000 African-American readers for only $99 per month. So don't forget to listen and tune in each week, every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/Urban Literary Review. Or check us out for more information at www.myspace.com/Urban Literary Review.
Thank you.
Hey, hey, welcome back, family, to another live edition with Don Adams on the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Guess what? I am he, your most magnificent, most wonderful host on blog radio. I'll let y'all applaud later. With that being said, how's everybody doing? Let me just give out my normal acknowledgments, and I love doing this, family. I love thanking each and every one of you for your time. Your time is the most valuable commodity that you all have, and you agreed to spend it with me, and I take that very personal, and I applaud, and I'm very happy to have you with me, as you have me in your homes, your cars, or your work, place of employment, wherever you may be listening into the show. Just want to tell you thank you. So stand up and pat yourself on the back, because I'm talking to you. That's right, you. My normal acknowledgement to my EOTM family, of course, Carla B. Ronnie, the First Lady of GPT, the Sassy Diva Sweet Tea, Queen G, of course. And I want to let you all know where you can reach us. You can reach us, as always, at www.eotmradio.com or www.queensofinternetradio.com. And, of course, my personal email, if you want to send me a BlackBerry letter to be read on the air, you can send it to Don Adams Talk Show at eotmradio.com. Family, tonight the blog room is not open. I'm holding it down on my own, so I'm not trying to be too fancy with it. I'm not trying to toss the blog room open and have all these things going on in front of me. Of course, you know how that can be. We'll try and get it open a little bit later in the show when we start talking about those wild-ass adoption cases that we're going to bring up. Oh, yeah, that's right, fam. I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't want to tell you exactly what we're going to talk about tonight just yet. The call-in number is 718-664-6543. I'm going to put that one out there again. The call-in number is 718-664-6543. We have a great show lineup for you tonight, family, and I'm expecting some folks to call in and give me some great opinions on this subject. We're talking about credit reports. Now, normally when black folks hear credit, they cringe up and say, ooh, you know, we don't want to talk about it. But you know what, family, we have gotten to a point where we have to talk about it, and I'm going to tell you why. Because credit reporting has gotten to the point where there are people out there that are using your credit, that's right, your credit scores, to keep you from gaining employment. Okay? That's how serious it's gotten. Later on in the show, family, we're going to talk about reverse adoption discrimination. Have a story about a gentleman who had his daughter. His daughter was born, and the mother of the child didn't really tell him anything about the timing of the birth or when the child was due or anything along those lines. To make a long story short, family, she went and had birth with the child, gave birth to the child, and illegally sent the child off to an adoption agency in another state. And this man is currently fighting to get his child back. And it's a very sad story, family. But we're going to talk about why this is happening. I mean, with so many of our women having the right to just leave the child at the hospital, leave the child at an adoption agency, or just in some states that they call safe haven laws, where the women are allowed to just drop the babies off and walk away, provided they're up to a certain age. So we're going to talk about that too as well, family, later on in the show. So bear with us on that point. But this credit thing has really got me cranked up. I mean, it's so much that you cannot do with bad credit. And, I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, with the stuff that I'm going to put out here today, family, if it shocks your conscience, then guess what? That's exactly what I intended to do. So before we get started with that, I also want to put out our disclaimer our EOTM disclaimer, stating that the thoughts and opinions of one host do not reflect the thoughts and opinions of all hosts and members of the EOTM staff. Basically, family, when I put that out there, I'm letting y'all know that if y'all think I'm crazy, guess what? It doesn't mean everybody else with EOTM is crazy as well. So don't put them in the same category that you're going to put me in. It's basically where we're going with that one, family. Okay? Y'all not hearing me? Well, with that being said, again, bear with me because we have some glitches with the equipment up in here. Or maybe it's just me. I'm always the one having the glitches. Maybe it's just me, you know. Need to get Knight Rider back in here. But anyway, family, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this quick song break, and then we're going to get with it with the credit reports. And for those of you out there who have some input about this credit game, the number is 718-664-6543. Give us a call. We'd like to hear what's on your hearts and your minds. Stand with us, family.
and welcome to your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com.
You know, when two people decide to get married, it's a pretty exciting time, but it also brings up a lot of hard questions. One of these questions is, how exactly are you and your spouse-to-be going to merge your money? The first step in doing this is to start discussing your financial goals. A good exercise to get this going is for each partner to make a list of his or her short-term goals, like paying off a credit card, getting a new car, or even going on a vacation. Then begin to list your long-term goals, like retirement or having a baby. From there, you should be able to determine which of these goals are a priority to both of you. Then, once you've identified these goals, you can focus your energy on achieving them. This is Gil Michelle.
That was your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com. To get more information and receive our free newsletter, visit BlackMoneyMatters.com.
Hey, family. Hey, welcome back to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. I played that Black Money Matters commercial right on time because today we're talking about credit reports, credit. What a lot of people don't know and realize is that bad credit can literally ruin your life. If it won't ruin your life, it'll put a serious monkey wrench in it for you, if you get my drift. And that's what we're going to talk about, family, top of the hour, is bad credit issues. How many of y'all knew or know that bad credit can keep you from gaining employment? Certain types of positions, certain types of jobs. Employers are using poor credit reports and poor credit scores to say that you are unsuitable for employment. Some of the well-known agencies or entities out there that use that practice, banks, well, I don't know about the banking industry. Because, well, the banking industry does use a credit rating as a determining factor as whether or not they'll hire you. But I don't know if I disagree with that entirely, because I don't know if I want somebody who owes everybody in the world some money working next to all of my money. I don't know. I don't know if that makes you a bad person or not. But, you know, some of the shockers are the police departments, the fire departments, certain jobs in public service that absolutely have nothing to do with money, money-related matters. And I think that what they're trying to say, family, when they use the credit report as a guide to whether or not you would be a good employee or however they're wording it, is to say that if you can't pay your bills, then you can't work for me. That's not making sense to me, family. I do not know. And I know some of you all have been victimized by that practice. And I'm going to put the number out there again, 718-664-6543. That's the call-in number for you all out there who have been victimized by this credit game, to give us a call. Let's talk about it. Let's see if we can help you resolve those issues. And later on in the show, it's no secret that our leader, our fearless leader, Carla Barnes, is known as a financial whiz in the business arena here in the Atlanta area. She's going to come on the show later on, too, family. She's going to share some interesting things with you as far as how you can get your credit repaired and how you can legally do these things. Because what's happening, too, family, is that we have agencies and entities out there that are claiming to be credit repair services, and they're feeding off of you all that have poor credit. By promising you those things that can't be done, you know, i.e., we'll clear your credit up if you give us $2,000 and so forth and so on. And I'm not familiar and up to date on all of the credit scams that are out there as far as, you know, what people have fallen victim to. But I can tell you this, family, that it's gotten out of control. And I'm going to tell you just how badly it's gotten out of control, family. The state of Georgia has recently come online saying this, that they are going to pass legislation that is going to prevent, that will prevent employers from using your credit scores against you. They're going to make it unlawful. And that's what the Georgia legislation is up to right now, family. And I think that's huge, because out of 51 states in the union, the state of Georgia is the only state in the union who has taken that measure. Now, I find that unusually, well, I'll say it's unusual, but I'll say I'm not surprised by it, because, family, this is not some way, shape, or fashion trying to play the race card, but let's just keep it real. Credit for black people means a different thing than what it does for than what it does for white folks and other people. And I personally believe that with today's economy being what it is now, so many people have lost their jobs and been unable to pay their bills to the point where the bad credit issue has now began to affect enough of the other people, the non-black people, if you want to call it that way, to the point where now it's starting to get, this practice is starting to get people's attention. And now people are starting to say, well, you know what, this might not be right. Well, you know something, family, I'm going to put this out there. You know what, in the black community, we've been dealing with bad credit for years, okay? When the economy went bad and the recession came around, let me just say it to you like this, family. My question was, when did the recession start? Because at the end of the day, I was already in whatever situation I was in. You feel me? But I see we've got Carla B. already on the line. I'm going to try to unmute her so that we can bring her in on this conversation because I'm sure she's probably got some interesting things she wants to say. But in the meantime, family, bear with me because I'm having some glitches with the equipment here. Here we go. Let me break her in. Hey, Carla B., are you in? All righty.
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go for it. I got you. Yeah, did you hear that first segment of the show?
Yeah, I heard it. I didn't, you know, I mean, I agree with some of the things that you shared, you know, but not all, but made some great points, though.
Well, you know, hey, it wouldn't be the Don EOTM Adam show if I wasn't as radical as I am about it. But, you know, I think I know where you're coming from with that. And you know what? I'm going to agree and disagree with you on that one. But it's all good. Much love to you. What you want to share with us tonight?
Well, no, I'm just chiming in, just checking it out. Of course, my background is real estate and mortgages. So that being said, when it comes to the credit industry, you know, I'm pretty well versed in it due to me helping hundreds of families get different kinds of loans for lease purchases as well as purchases, new purchases for homes. So I understand credit. I want to say that, you know, as far as credit isn't a white issue, it isn't a black issue. When it comes to understanding credit, it comes down to education. And understanding, you know, how credit works, and I get what you're saying when you say that, you know, it happens most times with African American people. I know you didn't say that directly, but I think that's where you were going with it, and I think that that is a problem, and it just stems from education and a lot of families not educating their children on credit because they didn't understand it. You know, I didn't mm-hmm. understand credit until I was like 27 years old. And my mother, she didn't understand it, of course. You know, my father did, but, you know, it just comes, I believe, with your upbringing. And, mm-hmm. You know, due to the way the economy has been, I think it has you know, put things in a different light for a lot of people where they're wanting now to really understand it. You know, I can remember back when, you know, I was doing mortgage loans, you know, doing, you know, a couple a day, and the people that would come to our office, you know, we would tell them about, of course, we would pour their credit, and you put it in front of them, and they have no clue, you know, as to what it is and the scores and the numbers and things of that sort. So I think it's really important for people to be, even before they start trying to make large purchases, they need to really understand the fundamentals of credit. And that is really, really important because as you see today in this day and age, you can't even get when you go look for a job, what one of the things they're doing now, they're pulling your credit. And a lot of people are thinking that's unfair.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, and Carla, I appreciate you mentioning something to me, and I want to apologize to the family because I think that my initial comments may have come off a little strong, which I intended for it to be, but I want to also fall in line with what you're saying, too. And I do not agree or think that credit is a black issue or a white issue. I think credit is an educational issue or a lack of educational issue, just as you put it, and I like the way you put that, and I should have been more descriptive when I mentioned that. Because generationally speaking, as you mentioned, our parents and the black community have not taught us, not all of us, about credit or credit issues and the long-term and the short-term effects. So there's another term out there that I think that goes along with that, too. It's called generational wealth. That's something that we also, in our community, the black community, generally, and not all of us, but generally, tend not to have a full range of knowledge about. Now, with that being said, Carla, I just want to put that out there, and I appreciate you speaking on that the way that you did and kind of putting that light out there in front of me. I appreciate that. But now, I also mentioned to the family before you came on, Carla, that you are, and I didn't want to get into details about how financially educated you are, but I did put out there that you are known in the business community as a financially savvy or a financially savvy person. You did mention the credit, you did mention the mortgage and the game that you're involved in or the career that you have. But is there anything else economically that you want to share with the family as far as credit repair? Because one of the things that I touched on, Carla, and now that I have you, I know that you also have some skills in other areas, and I'll leave that open for you to tap into how you want to tap into it. But credit repair scams, a lot of people are getting hooked up with these agencies out there and these entities out there that are promising them to come in and change their credit and clean up their credit. Can you give us some insight on that, on what goes into really and truly actually fixing your credit, and also some insight on how our family members out here should deal with some of these entities that come forward and say, hey, guess what, I can fix your credit.
Right. Well, there are a lot of scams out there. And that goes for a lot of different kinds of industries. But, specifically, I guess we'll talk about, when it comes to credit repair. And that's because, of course, everybody, due to the mortgage meltdown and all this crazy things with the economy, everybody is running, trying to get their credit straight. So what I would say to people is definitely do your due diligence. You could do all kind of different searches on Google. If you do find a website that you think is reputable, the way you would know it's reputable is you look at the bottom of it, and if it has the Better Business Bureau certifications on there, you know that they're a person that is probably well known in the community for honorable practices, if you will. So definitely, I would say do your research when it. As far as credit repair, there's so many different ways it could be done. But what I would do, a lot of times people think that they need credit repair and they really don't. So what I would say is definitely you want to consult with a professional. If you're looking to purchase a house, you can speak with your mortgage broker or your loan officer, and they could pull your credit. And then most loan professionals, mortgage professionals, they are certified in understanding credit. So they would be the person that could possibly
But Carla, wait a minute. I don't mean to interrupt you, but listen, you mentioned something that I think I want you to expand on with the family, okay? You said that most mortgage brokers are what did you say, certified in how to understand credit? Or how did you word that?
You have to be.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to understand credit in order to be a loan officer. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now, with that being said, that one piece right there, tell us about that. I mean, as far as understanding credit, I mean, what is it about their being able to understand credit that the average man cannot understand?
Okay, and, it's very intricate. So it's not something that I would just be able to just break down on a two-hour show. You just can't do it. But, because there's so many things involved in it.
And I know exactly where you're going, and I have a good idea of what you're saying, but just let me see if I can word this question a little bit, make it a little bit simpler and easier. Just can you give us a brief overview, not with all of the intricate details of it, but just a brief overview. Because see, one of the things that I want to put out there with Carla is this, is that I know that a lot of people, when someone tells me in a conversation, oh, credit, oh, yeah, well, you just got to pay your bills, you got to, I automatically know and understand at that point that that person, as smart as they may be, or as informed as they may think that they are, don't understand credit. Because most of us, and myself included, do not fully understand credit. Okay? And it takes a lot to admit and own up to that. Trust me, it does, family. But most of us do not really understand credit. I have had to go to institutions and take classes and do studying in order to understand the little bit that I do know about credit right now. And so that's what I'm trying to get, you know, not necessarily give us a full-blown explanation on it, but just sort of a brief overview on why the average person cannot or doesn't understand credit.
Why the average person does not understand credit.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, because that's still kind of, you know, I don't want to be too general with it, but understanding credit, I guess the people that generally may not understand credit, those are the people that are, you know, having the biggest problem with it. And it boils down to budgeting and understanding and balancing your checkbook and just how you spend it, how you spend your money. I think the key tip as far as getting your credit together is, number one, sitting down, getting all, you know, your bills together, and then what you bring into the house. And you just put it down on paper, and once you see in black and white what you're making and then what you're spending out, you know, you will be able to gain a better understanding. But it definitely boils down to, as when you, in the initial stages of even trying to understand your situation, you have to sit down and take a good look at your finances, what you're bringing in, what you're putting out, and try to construct some kind of budget. That's the first thing that a mortgage person is going to tell you when you come into their office to get any kind of loan. It's okay, let's see what you got going out, and let's see what you got going in. So you have, and most people don't want to, you know, they don't want to really take the time to do. A lot of people, unfortunately, I'm out with my girlfriends the other day, and she's writing a check, and she didn't even register it in her checkbook. And I'm like, how could you do that? She says she can remember and stuff. I'm like, okay, well, I already know her credit's jacked up. And you could tell by the types of things that they're doing. So I would say, number one, for anybody trying to get their credit situation together, they need to sit down and see what you got coming in and what you got going out, and then you definitely want to make some adjustments there.
Wow. See, and that's what I wanted. That's where I wanted you to go with that. That was where I tried to put you in. That answer right there was the situation that I was trying to put you in. Because family, what she's saying is simply this, family. You know, credit is a matter of budgeting. It's a matter of exactly what she said, paying attention to what you have coming in and monitor what's going out. But you know something, family? A large part of it has to do with discipline. You know, and it takes a lot of discipline to step up and say, you know what, if I'm spending X amount of dollars, I know I make this, what can I do about it? You know, as far as, you know, overspending ourselves. Because, you know, all too often, you know, we tend to look at the Joneses next door, and we want to have a Lexus because they have a Lexus. And no good and well, guess what? You know, we might not be able to afford our lights. Well, you know, our lights, or put food on the table and so forth and so on, trying to keep up with those Joneses. You know, and on the flip side, family, you know, being materialistic, sometimes we don't know what those people have to do in order to maintain their lifestyle.
Exactly.
But that's a whole other story. So, you know, we can go into that. But let me put some statistics out there for you, family. Many Americans these days are discovering that there is a catch-22 of unemployment, and that is that you might fall behind on your bills because you've lost your job, and you might not be able to land a new job because of the fact that you've fallen behind on your bills. That doesn't make sense to me, does it, family? Absolutely not. A fair chunk of employers want to examine your credit history before offering you a position or even in some cases a promotion. Blotches there such as repossessions, collections, or credit card balances that are overdue could cost you the job that you want or the promotion that you're trying to get. For example, applications for the Transportation Security Administration airport screening jobs are rejected if they have more than $5,000 in overdue debt. Let me just say this right now, and I don't make a secret out of it. I am currently enrolled in a master's program here in Atlanta, Georgia. I am $5,000 in debt. And then you mean to tell me if I wanted to try to get a job with the Transportation Security Administration, they would look at me and say, oh, you owe this amount of money based upon a school loan that you had back whenever that you still are currently paying on, you won't get a job? That's not making sense, family. Let's think about that one. It's not making sense. That also tells me, and I fall back upon my original statement, which was that the state of Georgia is now currently seeking to pass a law that will outlaw that practice here in Georgia, that will make it illegal for employers to use your credit report to determine whether or not they're going to give you a job. Now, I say that to say this. This is a practice that Black America has had to deal with for years, and I mean that profoundly. White America has had bad credit issues, but they've always been able to slide under the carpet. Now, what I think has happened is that too many of those other people have ended up being affected by this, and now it's becoming an issue where the legislators are saying, you know what, we need to change that practice. So, you know, with that being said, family, credit issues are a huge, huge problem. What you think, Carla B?
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. And I want to touch on something else that's really, really important when it comes to credit. And I'm talking about credit card debt. You know, when people get credit cards, they think that, you know, if you don't understand credit, when you get a credit card, you are definitely not going to understand that, and you're going to get yourself in a world of hurt. So I know typically I just recently got a credit card in the mail, and, you know, I tore it up, cut it up, and threw it in the trash, and my daughter was saying, she was like, Mommy, how could you? I'm like, I don't need any more, you know, debt, because what happens is they give you a credit line of $5,000, and most people, what they would do is they'll go out and they'll spend $5,000, and it takes 15 years to pay, you know, to pay it off with all the interest and stuff that they tack onto it. So I think the whole credit card game is just another thing that really, you know, hurts families. You know, I know sometimes you have to live off of it due to certain situations. But if you don't need a credit card, I would say definitely. I mean, if your credit is already established, you know, you really don't need that extra debt, then don't get it. But if you're, you know, in the newbie stages, you're 18, 19, fresh, you know, going off to college or something like that, then, of course, you know, a credit card is good. If you get a credit card with a limit of $500, what you want to do, and I'll make this brief, what you want to do typically to keep things straight is not go out and just use your whole balance up, you know, in one whop. You want to maybe make a purchase of about $120 and then pay that off in maybe two payments. And, you know, and that's, you know, what helps build your credit. Once you make a purchase and then you start paying it off. And it's always good to pay off a little bit more. You never want to do the minimum unless that's all you can do. But that's what builds your credit is when you make a purchase, then, you know, they see your, you know, your payments consistently on an on-time basis, month after month after month after month, and that's what builds credit. You know. Not just,
well, you know what?
Going out.
No, go ahead, Carla, go ahead.
I just want to say really quickly, what a lot of people make a mistake with, and I think I already mentioned it, is that they get a credit card with a limit of about $1,000, and they make a purchase of $1,000, and then the next month they pay their whole balance off. That's not really helping you, because that's not really showing them that you can pay your payments. They want to see it in increments. So you never want to spend $1,000 and then pay the whole $1,000 the next month, because that's not going to create you good credit at all. Over 10 years it might, but if you're trying to create some good credit over like a 3-year period, they like to see, you know, consistent monthly payments, not just one payment and you stop using the credit card and think you have A1 credit. You know, it doesn't work like that.
Excellent, excellent. You know, I'm going to put some more statistics out there for you, family. In 2006, a poll was taken by the Society for Human Resource Management, and one of the things that they Well, actually, what they found out was that 43% of potential companies and employers ran credit checks on some of their, on some or all of their potential new hires, to determine their character, so to speak. Add 25% to that, and that's where we are with that number today. But one of my listeners out there has also shed some light on something that I mentioned earlier about Georgia being one of the first state to enact laws to prevent this practice of using your credit report to determine whether or not you are a good hire. Here I'm seeing that up in Tennessee, a Republican, Steve Cohan, who's a Democratic, and also 26 of his congressional colleagues have enacted what they call bills called H.R. 3149, which prohibits the use of credit information in most employment decisions. And thank you for this information, because currently two states, Hawaii and Washington, already do so. So that would mean that Georgia and the state of Tennessee are going to join Hawaii and Washington in fighting this practice. That's huge information, family. Things that we need to know. At least I know where to move to, so I can have my credit issues resolved and at least keep me from gaining employment. What do you think about that, Carla B?
I'm sorry. I only caught the tail bit of that.
Okay. No, I was putting out to the family that I thank one of the listeners for sending me some information about credit reports, saying that Georgia is not the only state in the union to attack that issue. You know, I was happy to reverse that statement and say that Hawaii and the state of Washington already have laws on the books that prohibit potential employers from using your credit information to determine whether or not they will hire you. And it says here, in most situations, I'm sure they're trying to exclude law enforcement and banking, banking industries from that.
They're probably not excluding banking industries. That's one of the number one industries where you need to have good credit.
Exactly.
They're not trying to exclude that. I mean, I'm in agreement with the law. You know, and I guess maybe one of the reasons, because I'm a business owner, and I understand that if you don't respect, and this is most cases, I'm not putting everybody in that particular bucket, but if you don't respect your money, if you're managing mine on my monthly reports and things like that, you're not going to be effective with it. You're not going to care. You can't care about somebody else's stuff if you don't even care about yours. And then you run a particular job effectively, in my opinion.
So you think that it's okay for, well, you know, and here's the thing, Carla, here's where I'm going with it, okay? And I'm so glad that you said that, because that's taking us into another arena with this thing, is that, okay, if you're going into the banking industry, I can understand it. And let me explain why I think I can understand it. Because you know what, you're right. If you have credit issues and people crawling up your back asking you for money and wanting this and wanting that from you, I would also be skeptical about you handling my money in my banking institution. I would absolutely. I have to be honest with that. Now, as far as law enforcement goes, and most of you all who listen to this show knows that I have a law enforcement background, let me say this to you. The law enforcement arena says this, that you are more apt to take a bribe because your credit issue is going to be on your back. And now, you know, I'm kind of touch and go with that, because I think bad cops are bad cops regardless of where they are. Bad cops not meaning that they're out there harassing you, but they're quick to take money under the table. I think that if you are a bad cop coming in, I don't think it matters if you got A1 credit, or I don't think it matters if you have F-minus credit. You're going to take a bribe. But now, as far as being a business owner and having someone to manage my money, that's a touch and go. And I'm glad that you said that, because my personal thing is this, for you small business owners out there, I'm on the fence about that, because I don't, you know, here's the thing. If a person made bad decisions because they didn't know better, or for whatever reason didn't have enough knowledge, and not making excuses, but if they made bad financial decisions, does it necessarily mean that they would be incapable of functioning in your agency, you know, in a financial capacity?
Well, you know, not necessarily. It doesn't necessarily mean that. But, I mean, I understand the reason behind them trying to enact certain laws. So, you know.
Wow. Amazing. Well, I mean, and I, you know, hey, I respect that absolutely, 100%. Family, stick with us. We're going to take a quick Sir Carla B., are you going to hang with us for a minute?
Yeah, because I want to touch on something that I think that your listeners may find interesting regarding credit.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, Pam, stick with us. We'll be right back with Carla B. And for those of you out there who do want to call in, I'm going to put the number out there once again. The call-in number is 718. All right? Well, y'all need me where you get a pen? 718. Okay? 664. All right? 6543. Now, I know that there's more than me that has bad credit. Did I say I had bad credit? Well, I know that there's plenty of y'all out there with bad credit issues, so don't be afraid to call in while we have this genius on the phone, Miss Carla B., who has graced us with her presence. Family, it's a wealth of information in her head. Y'all come on, help me dig in there and get it out. We'll be right back, family.
Stay away from you too long. Even if I do, I'll always call. Checking on you, make sure you're okay. Be the one to brighten up your day. Yeah, yeah, and the point of it all, I love you. Yeah, you know I love you, baby. Oh, oh. My days seem long whenever we're apart. Like someone has stolen away my heart. You're a major part of my life. And no matter what the storm may bring, I'm fine with you. And the point of it all, I love. And the reason for it all, I love you. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you, sir.
Hey y'all, it's here, It's finally here. The buzz is here. What is the buzz?
ELTM Buzzwire magazine at eltmbuzzwire.com is a monthly magazine on the web.
Continuing with EOTM's mission to encourage, empower, and enlighten. Buzzwire magazine at eotmbuzzwire.com will help bring entrepreneurs together, and connecting minds will increase networks to increase networks.
Read EOTM Buzzwire magazine each month at eotmbuzzwire.com and stay enlightened and empowered.
You know I love you, babe. Woo, that song. Welcome back to the Todd Adams Jr. Talk Show. You're chopping it up today about credit reports and bad credit, what type of effects it can have on you. And so far we talked about employment, you know, awful stuff. But we are graced with Carla B's presence. And I mentioned earlier in the show, for those of you who don't know, Carla B is considered to be somewhat of a financial whiz here in the business community in the Atlanta area. She's very smart, very in tune with money matters, so to speak. And so we're definitely glad to have her come in and talk about some of the things that we can do, family, to prevent ourselves from being dug into the credit hole, so to speak. And I know we haven't really gotten into the different effects that bad credit can have onto you, because I wanted to give Carla B time to say what she needed to say, because she, we're not going to be fortunate enough to have her for the entire show. But she did want to put something else out there for us, family. So let's give her the floor and our attention. Go ahead, Carla.
All right. I appreciate it, Don. And I definitely want to tell you that you're doing a really great job on the Don Adams Show. So good, kudos to you on that. I want to also put something out there. You mentioned that I was a financial savvy person in the Atlanta market, but I am also in the real estate industry in Los Angeles as well. If any listeners tonight found the information I share useful, you can actually Google my name, Carla Barnes, a.k.a. the Mortgage Diva, or you can find me on examiner.com. I have a section under the Los Angeles real estate section. So I do write about all sorts of range of topics in regards to real estate and mortgages. Only thing I want to touch on now really quickly, and maybe we can do a follow-up show on this, is it's called credit triggers. And credit trigger is a relatively new term in the financial world, but it's actually quickly increasing trend that, you know, something that all three consumer credit reporting agencies are using. And what credit triggers does, they alert, they send out alerts to your lenders about different credit activities that you may be doing. Say for instance, you lost your job and use your credit card and try to go get a cash advance. If this is something different from the norm, what that'll do is that'll create that trigger. And what they'll do is they'll wind up, if you have other credit cards, they'll put blocks on the limits of the amount.
Wait a minute, Carl. Hold on, let me interrupt. Wait a minute. Are you saying that if it's almost like the banking industry, like if you have a debit card and you transactions start to happen outside of the norm that the bank is used to seeing, that they identify as your pattern of spending, they will shut down all of your credit cards?
Yeah, not debit, but yeah, I'm talking about credit cards. And what they'll do, they might not shut down shut them down completely, but what they'll do is if you have a credit limit of $10,000, they'll reduce that to $5,000. And that has happened to me and so many other people within the mortgage industry the past couple years, and other people also, of course. But that's something that they've started doing the past 3 years, and it's called credit trigger. Do something out of the norm, they can definitely trigger the other companies to do the same thing to you.
So
just be careful.
Wow.
Yeah. So just be careful, you know, what you initiate, because, you know, a lot of times you know, people are in certain bonds and they're trying to, you know, get money. So I think the best thing to do so you won't have that credit trigger is maybe contact your local bank and speak with one of your bank representatives, and they can tell you exactly what's the easiest way to do you know, get the money that you need without creating these different triggers, because it could definitely be devastating to your credit.
Wow. Man, that was some heavy stuff there, partner. You got me on that one. Wow. Okay. Real talk from Carla B, y'all. Real talk. Okay.
Yes. Thanks so
I need
much.
To go
I
ahead.
Wanna,
Go ahead, sweetie.
No. I just wanted to, you know me, I'm always about promoting and stuff, and I definitely want them to definitely check out actually my new site on examiner.com. If you went on examiner.com and typed in Los Angeles real estate, then you'll be able to see my column and look at all the new articles on credit triggers. Actually, that's going to be a new one that I'll probably put up tomorrow. I'll put the credit triggers up tomorrow, but definitely, you know, all types of topics relating to real estate credit and mortgages. So thanks so much, Don.
Yeah, before you go, Carla, before you go, I want to put this information out there. But just before you go, I know you're trying to get out of here. I mentioned also some of the things that bad credit was keeping people from being employed. I mentioned also that it has a lot to do with the National Security National Security Agency, and also some of the security positions at the Transportation Department. But also it keeps you from having employment with some state and local agencies that have nothing to do with law enforcement. Okay, family, that's important. Supervisory, managerial, and professional and executive positions at different types of institutions and agencies. So this credit thing, family, is a huge thing, and we want to thank Carla B. once again for coming in and giving us some of her insight. And again, you know, she put her information out there, and I'm going to say this to you, family, give her a shout, give her a call. Carla, thank you again for coming in and sharing with us and the family. We'll look forward to hearing from you again on the follow-up show on that, okay?
Cool things. Thanks so much.
All right, babe. See you later. Family, stick around. We're going to take a fast commercial break on a song, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about some of these crooked-ass adoptions that's going on out here. Hang on. We're talking with the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. We'll be right back, family.
Yeah.
Hey, family, welcome back to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Chopping it up today about credit, some of the effects it can have on you. We needed to give Carla B some time on the set because, you know, her time was limited tonight. Normally, she would be with us all night, family. Y'all know that, but she had some other pressing things going on. But she dropped some major knowledge on us tonight. And I want to follow up with that real briefly. With some additional statistics. You all know how much I love statistics, because statistics mean that this has already happened. It means that this is what's going on. You follow what I'm saying, family? Statistics generally tell you where you're trying to go, why you're trying to get there, and how you're going to get there. You follow me? And that's why I think it's important that we know this. And as soon as I drop this out there, family, we're going to move on to the second half of the show's topic, which is going to be these bullshit-ass bootleg adoptions that's out there. Now, family, excuse my language. If you got some kids in the room, you might want to put them out for a minute or so after this, for this next segment, because I'm going to be honest with you, family. I'm taking the gloves off, and I'm going to unleash some things about some of these adoption agents and some of these so-called rights that women have to just walk away from children, whereas the men are out here dealing with, you know, all types of foolishness when it comes to children, child support, and all these other things. And I'm not saying that this should be a level playing field, men should walk away, and so forth and so on, but if you're going to drag them through the mud for child support, then guess what? I don't think it's fair that we have laws out there that allow women to drop their kids off at facilities or hospitals and just walk away and say, oh, I can't deal with it. So with that being said, family, let me get over the rest of this credit information so we can get to that and chop it up. Your mortgage. These are things that your credit can affect, bad credit. Your mortgage, your car loan, your insurance premium. That's right, I said your insurance premium. And it can also affect where you live. We've already discussed how it affects who employs you. All of these life staples can depend on your credit score and the credit report in which it is based. Lenders have long used credit scores and reports to determine whether to lend you money, on how much interest to charge you, and on how much interest to charge you. These days, auto insurers are being credit-based scores to calculate premiums. Employers are using credit scores to determine whether you're worthy of hiring, and landlords are using them to figure out whether you are a reliable tenant or not. Some utility companies are linking credit scores to the size of the deposit you must pay to have your power turned on. Despite the credit score's growing importance in so many aspects of Americans' lives, only a fraction of consumers know their score and what they may be doing to hurt or to help that score, or how it could be used against them. Only 33% of consumers have obtained their scores, according to a survey of about 1,600 consumers published this year by the Government Accountability Office. That's important, family, because I'm going to tell you something. How many of you really and truly honestly knew that your credit scores was linked to your insurance premiums on your automobile? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that is some bogus crap. Because at the end of the day, what in the hell does my credit report have to do with how well I drive? Used to be a time when you had to wait 5 years for tickets to fall off your record before your insurance premiums would go up, X, Y, and Z. But now, guess what they're doing, family? They're pulling your credit report. And they say, well, you know what, this guy hasn't paid his bills in a while, or this guy may have missed a payment, or for whatever reason, you have a low credit score. Guess what? We're going to charge you more money as an insurance for your insurance premium on your vehicles. That's right, family. We had a show on that 2-3 weeks ago, and I put it on blast. That's right. I put it on blast about how these insurance companies are out here using your credit scores to determine whether or not they're going to give you a low or a high or a mid-based premium on your automobiles. Now, go look at that, because I'm going to tell you something. Georgia's already stepping up to the plate and saying, you know what, we don't want them to use your credit scores to determine whether or not you can be hired. But let me give you all some insight. The state of Michigan, I love this state, because Michigan is always quick to jump on things. They have already enacted laws prohibiting insurance companies from using your credit scores to determine what your rates would be. Landlords determine whether or not they're going to let you live in certain places based upon your credit scores. That's crazy to me, fam. Very crazy. Somebody's asking me a question in the blog room, and I'm answering that question right now, fam. Excuse my pause. But with that being said, I mean, and the thing that kicks me about this thing with the credit scores, baby, family, is that, you know something? So many people don't realize or know that their credit scores are actually what they are. In other words, so many of us walk around and operate within the course of a day, and we don't even know what our credit scores are all about or what they are or how many times our credit has been, our Social Security number has been used to establish credit in other places. Basically, what I'm saying, family, is we're not checking, okay? We're not checking. We're not knowing what our credit scores are. Only 33% of consumers, 33% of consumers have obtained their scores. That's a very, very low number when we talk about the amount of people that are here in the United States, over 3 million and some change. You know, that's huge. What's more troubling is that the proprietary formula behind this all-important number, which is your credit score, is a large mystery, and the data in which it's based are often inaccurate. In other words, credit companies and agencies most times are reporting inaccurate information on you when it comes to your credit scores, and that's huge because, you know what, we don't know what's going on with our credit scores, and that's why they're getting away with it, is because they're reporting inaccurate information and we're not checking. Did you not know that if you pull your credit report and there's an inaccurate information on it, you can dispute that and force them to drop that information off of your credit scores? And when you do it with one agency, you have to do it with all three? I said something, family, that's huge. Give me a call at 718-664-6543. I know y'all have bad credit because you're listening to the show. And I'm going to be honest with you. Ain't nobody out there with good credit paying attention to what I'm saying tonight. What's more troubling, like I said again, was the formula that's being used to determine your credit report. This is huge, family. What the score is, credit score, let's talk about how that originated. The company behind the credit score phenomenon is called Fair Isaac. It's developing a score system, and this came about in 1989 to give lenders a shortcut for judging applicants' credit worthiness. The three major credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, used the system to calculate a so-called FICO score based on the data that they've collected about you from banks and credit card companies, such as payment histories and debit debts, and from public records also, such as bankruptcy filings and tax liens. Okay? Yes, all of that information is public knowledge. Okay, family? With that being said, you know, we're going to close it out about the credit thing, but I hope that some of the information that we've been able to provide for you on that credit issue has been useful to somebody, because you know what, here at EOTM, one of the things that we pride ourselves on is being able to enlighten the community. Now, whether it's our Caucasian brothers and sisters, whether it's our African-American brothers and sisters, our Latino brothers and sisters, or even our Asian brothers and sisters, because we're all family. Believe it or not, we're all family. Whether or not sometimes my topics may sound as though I'm being impartial or not, believe this when I tell you this, family, I have a broad base of listeners in all communities, and I very sincerely hope that this information has been something that will transpire and help each and every one of you or those that actually need the information, okay? So with that being said, family, I'm going to move us along to this adoption issue. But before we do, I want to play something that may kind of set the mood for where we're going with this adoption thing, because I have uncovered some real Michael Bazin calls it frack-a-knack-a bull. I just straight up say it's a bunch of BS. You know, I took a shortcut on that one, spare your earlobes, but I usually just say it's a bunch of BS. But before we get to that, family, I want to go ahead and play a little something that's going to, you know, set the mood right. Then we're going to come back and take the gloves off and chop it up about this adoption thing. Okay? Stick with us, family.
Be the same love after me loving you. satisfy your every single need of love.
Every single
need of love. Do everything your heart and mind's been thinking of.
Hey, family, welcome back to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Chopped it up with Carla B. about credit issues in the community, just ravaging us, and put some information out there for your family about some of the things that having bad credit are keeping us from being able to do. You know, and I like the way she put it before she left off, too, is that she mentioned that it's not a black and white issue, it's an education issue. So I want to leave that on the table with you on that. Now, family, let's get moving with the next topic that we're going to talk about on today's show. This is some craziness right here. I'm just going to put it out there. Family, I heard about an adoption of a baby, and it was so crazy because the father of this child had no idea that his child was being put up for adoption. Craziness. And he is now, and I'm talking about the biological father of this child, is now fighting to regain custody of his child, his daughter, who is in another state from the state versus where she was born. And this is crazy. The gentleman's name is John Wyatt. Let me just read the story, family, and then we can kind of chop it up from there, because this segment is going to be about some of these crazy-ass adoption laws that are out there, because I'm finding it very hard to believe that someone in the year 2010 was able to do what this woman has done and deny this man the privilege of being a father to his child. Okay? John Wyatt raced to the hospital excited to be a father, but worried about the mother. His girlfriend had promised to call him the moment she went into labor, but she turned off her cell phone. Wyatt had been calling it for hours. Finally, an operator at a Potomac hospital in Woodbridge confirmed the news. His girlfriend was there, and his daughter had been born. John Wyatt arrived at the hospital that morning, February the 11th, 2009. He got the shock of his 20-year-old life. Administrators insisted that no such baby was there and no such mother. Court records show that Wyatt's daughter, Emma, was born February the 10th at that very hospital, and that she spent the next week at two Woodbridge hotels before being put up for adoption in Utah. "We just want Emma to come home," says Wyatt's mother, Jerry. "My son wants his child. I want to see my granddaughter." More than a year later, a cross-country court fight over of a child known as Baby Emma has yet to settle the question of whether the strawberry blonde, blue-eyed girl was illegitimately taken from her father or legally put up for adoption by her mother, 20-year-old Emily Colleen Fallen, a George Mason University student. The highly unusual dispute pits the state of Virginia against the state of Utah. A Stafford County judge in December awarded Wyatt custody of Emma and cited a federal kidnapping statute in ordering the state to bring her back from Utah. Virginia officials say they lack the legal authority to follow the judge's order. So much for the interstate compacts. In Salt Lake City, a Utah judge issued a competing order granting temporary custody to the adoptive couple in that state, and Emma has been living with them ever since. Attorneys for the couple say Wyatt of Dumfries failed to assert his parental rights in time to contest the adoption. His appeal is pending in a Utah court. "My daughter is being held hostage," says Wyatt, now 21, a D.C. nightclub worker who has never seen Emma. Emma is his daughter, by the way. "She was kidnapped and cradle robbed from me, and I'm baffled that nothing has been done." The case, which has become the talk of the nation's close-knit circle of adoption lawyers since the Wyatts appeared on the Dr. Phil show, is the latest to spotlight Utah adoption laws that experts say are unusually tough on unmarried fathers. Lawyers cite at least 10 recent cases in which babies were taken to or born in Utah and adopted without an out-of-state father's consent. Okay? This is huge, family. Follow me through on this one. In one case, the Utah Supreme Court last year ruled in favor of an unwed Wyoming mother who falsely told the father she miscarried, traveled to Utah to deliver the baby girl and put her up for adoption. Utah risks becoming a magnet for those seeking to unfairly cut off opportunities for biological fathers to assert their right to connection with their children. Chief Justice Christian Durham wrote in a dissent. John Hillinger, a University of California at Berkeley professor and a leading authority on adoption law, call Utah's decision in the Baby Emma case outrageous, because Wyatt filed for custody in Virginia just 8 days after the baby was born. Utah laws and court decisions, she said, make it virtually impossible for an out-of-state father to prevent the adoption of an out-of-wedlock child when the mother is determined to go forward with the adoption. Now, family, Utah is culturally conservative. It's a culturally conservative state. And the lawyers there say that the power of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, with emphasis on family values, they basically strongly encourage adoption-friendly laws in that state. The Utah statutes can be somewhat harsh, but they're looking at what's best for what they consider to be the best interest for the child. Stable placements and two-parent homes. You know what? Let me just take the gloves off on this one right away, family. I'm just going to tell you, that's a bunch of BS. It's wrong. It's not right. And I don't care where you live, to take a man's baby and just send it out for adoption. You know, and as far as I'm concerned, I honestly have an issue with the fact that, and this is not an attack on women, because I know that it's not practiced as often as it probably could be, but I think it's wrong to allow anyone, like say in the state of Arkansas, to be able to come in and drop off a child and walk away and not be responsible for it. And I think that the adoption situation in Utah follows suit with some of that, because of the fact that no one questions the legitimacy, or no one questions the actions that come into place with some of these women that are having these children, because we take, for instance, or for granted, or just give them credit for being a good mommy, so to speak, and just doing something that's supposedly within the best interest of the child, even without the father's consent. That's wrong, family. That's absolutely wrong. You know, and it's trifling for the state of Virginia to turn around and say, you know what, we can't interfere. We cannot interfere with that. We cannot say that you can give this child, that we want you to bring this child back, or we can't step in and say, hey, our citizen has been, you know, has been wrong, and his child has been removed from his custody and care, and he's not been given the opportunity to be a father to this child. If the shoe was on the other foot, and y'all know that most of what we talk about on my shows are child support. You know we have issues with child support going on out there. If the shoe was on the other foot and they wanted him to pay child support, guess what? They'd be hanging him by his you-know-what and stringing him along and raping him financially. But in this case, this man is wanting to assume responsibility for his child who has been wrongly removed from him. What do y'all think about that, fam? I know some angry fathers out there that want to chime in on that one. You know, and I know the blog room is closed, but guess what? I'm all ears. Give us a call. 664-6543. And let's talk about that. Some of these safe haven laws is what they call it. Stick with us, family. You'll be right back with the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, and we're going to talk it up about some of these crooked-ass adoption laws. We'll be right back, family.
Hi, and welcome to your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com.
You know, when two people decide to get married, it's a pretty exciting time, but it also brings up a lot of hard questions. One of these questions is, how exactly are you and your spouse-to-be going to merge your money? The first step in doing this is to start discussing your financial goals. A good exercise to get this going is for each partner to make a list of his or her short-term goals, like paying off a credit card, getting a new car, or even going on a vacation. Then begin to list your long-term goals, like retirement or having a baby. From there, you should be able to determine which of these goals are a priority to both of you. Then, once you've identified these goals, you can focus your energy on achieving them. This is Gil Michelle.
That was your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com. To get more information and receive our free newsletter, visit blackmoneymatters.com.
You're gonna look for me. Go.
Yeah. I'm back in the booth, man. Y'all in trouble again. E-O-T-M. Red 1, T and me. Reno, what up? Ha-ha. LeBron is the truest. On the move with entrepreneurs. More than half of what you see. Like Carla B and her bachelor's degree. Refuse to give the devil a chance to put us under. From Bronx, New York, the Rancho Cucamonga. Mocha D, Sweet D, say too. Ronnie McAllister, they will upgrade you. Properties unique and fly. Depending on your credit, the rent, lease, or buy. Blog talk, they let the divas speak. On the air like 7 days a week. With trailblazing heat from head of Memphis. Media networks with various interests. Carla's official with her own Ning account. A trip to the top of the world, the bold thing to mount. But she gon' get it in, no conspiracy to win. Glance through my eyes, watch reality begin. Let it start fast, wind up holding an art class. Download and let it explode in a podcast. All them other shows are less competitive. So respect you, better give through your woofers and receivers. These ladies stunt like divas, whether pumps or sneakers, on a bunch of features. The hate is worse than the shot in the dark, regardless if it's Prospect Ave or Hopkins Park. You understand, time to oversee. Who else can let you host your own live show for free? And if it's hot, you know it's me. Michael Jackson, rest in peace. E-O-T-M. Y'all know what it is.
Welcome back, family, to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. We're talking about adoptions. Bootleg adoptions is what I'm calling it. And one of the things that came up was a story about John Watts, who's a father in the Virginia area, who's the mother of his child. I wanted to say baby mama, but I'm trying to get away from that drama. The mother of his child took off and went to Utah. And put the baby for adoption without his knowledge. And now this poor guy, and John White Wyatt is one of our Caucasian brothers out there. So family, just know, just so you know, we do pay attention to all of our communities. And it's outrageous, in my opinion, that this man, this man's child, was taken from him, removed from him by this mother, and put up for adoption without his knowledge. That's outrageous, family. In any way that, you, shape, form, or fashion that you want to look at it. One of the things that comes to mind is that the states have now enacted safe haven laws, and also it came out too in some of what I was reading too, family, about that, is that Utah is widely known as the state in the union that has the most relaxed adoption laws of all the states out there. So that I think needs to be looked at as well, and you know. For a judge in Virginia to say, well, we have no authority to enforce the court orders of a judge in another state pertaining to this. But let me ask you this, family, because most of you all who don't know, it's called the Interstate Compact Law. What that means is that states will honor each other's rulings, laws, and so forth and so on by judges in different states. This is how child support is able to track you down in another state and to pursue you because of the Interstate Compact. Okay. Now, with that being said, this is how, if you get married in Hawaii, your marriage is recognized in Vermont because you're married. And the Interstate Compacts have said that, listen, whatever happens over here, legally, we're going to recognize in our state. Follow me through, family? Why is this man's parental rights not being recognized through the Interstate Compact? Why in the hell is the state of Virginia saying, you know what, we don't have the authority to enforce this ruling by this judge in another state who says that you can have your child? Why? When it comes to child support, guess what? They're going to come after you. When it comes to you wanting to be married, and I'm talking about our gay and lesbian sisters and brothers out there, which, by the way, I do believe, hey, you have the right to do what you want to do. But at the end of the day, guess what? When the Interstate Compact wants to enforce, it seems to me that when they want to enforce certain rules and laws, they enforced them. but they selectively didn't want to help this young man with his situation with this child. Let's keep it moving, family. Infant safe haven laws. Some states have seen fit to give up or to allow parents to safely drop off their children in areas or in institutions where they will be cared for in any event that they feel as though they can't care for them or don't want to. And they've entitled that infant safe haven laws. Many state legislatures have enacted legislation to address infant abandonment and killing the babies is what it means, family. In response to a report increase in the abandonment, reported increase in the abandonment of infants, beginning in Texas in 1999, baby Moses laws or infant safe haven laws have been enacted as an incentive for mothers in crisis to safely relinquish their babies to designated locations where babies are protected and provided with medical care until a permanent home is found. Safe haven laws generally allow the parent or an agent of the parent to remain anonymous and to be shielded from prosecution for abandonment or neglect in exchange for surrendering the baby to a safe haven. Family, I'm just going to tell you, I'm definitely on the fence about that one, because if that were the case, you know, as hard as they push for parental rights and child support laws and so forth and so on, and we're talking about the best interest of the children, and family, I'm looking for you all to give us a call at 718-664-6543 and share some of your thoughts and opinions on this topic, because, again, the thoughts and impressions of one host do not necessarily reflect those of all that are connected with EOTM. But at the end of the day, I also invite you to come in and to agree to disagree with me on this. To date, approximately 47 states and Puerto Rico, we ain't going to forget about Puerto Rico, not a state but still in the union, have enacted safe haven legislation. The focus of these laws is to protect newborns in approximately 15 states. Infants who are 72 hours old or younger may be relinquished to a designated safe haven. Approximately 14 states and Puerto Rico, once again, we ain't going to forget about Puerto Rico, accept infants up to 1 month old. Other states specify varying age limits in their statutes. I think the most famous case here in Georgia was when a mother drove her son from Georgia to Arkansas and dropped him off because she was not able to deal with his behavior and with you know, other issues that the boy was having here in Georgia. This was an African-American woman, and she got in her car and drove 11 hours to the state of Arkansas because she had heard about the safe haven laws that were there, and dropped her son off. And when she came back, and she's out of Cobb County, and when she came back, she told the judge, and her case eventually her son was brought back to Georgia because he was, I think, 11 years of age. He was eventually brought back to Georgia, and child welfare intercepted him and briefly took custody of him. But the mother went to court and said, you know what, I can't deal with him. I don't have help. Someone needs to help me. She was crying out, and this was the only course of action that she was able to, from her viewpoint, see some light on how to deal with this. Believe me, family, we're going to have a show on Badass Kids later. Matter of fact, we may do that one on Friday if I can't get some of these contestants to come in with me from the Miss Black Georgia USA. But to make a long story short, back to the topic matter, family, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I'm on the fence about the safe haven law, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when you have parents who have exalted all of their avenues or what they consider to be all their avenues as far as how to deal with their child, what are they to do? You know, in this lady's case, this was an 11-year-old child. And because of that, Arkansas has scaled back their safe haven law, because prior to that, there was no age limit on how old the child had to be. But what she did, because of what she had done, the state of Arkansas has now come in and said, well, guess what? What we're going to do is put an age limit on that. So you can't just come in here and drop off a 15-year-old, 11-year-old, or, you know, a child, you know, of any age other than 5 or 6 years of age. I'm not sure what the actual age limit is, but and just drop them off in our state and leave and think it's okay. I applaud the state of Arkansas for taking that measure because, you know, at the end of the day, when you decide to bring the baby here, it is yours. Who may leave a baby at a safe haven? In most states with safe haven laws, either parent may surrender his or her baby to a safe haven. In four states, only the mother can relinquish that infant. Okay? In four states. Those states are Georgia, Maryland, Minnesota, and Tennessee. Now, we're talking about adoption at the top of the hour, the second hour. And, you know, we brought up the story of John Wyatt, who lost custody of his child. Actually, he never even had custody. The woman had the child, and she went to another state to have the baby and didn't even tell him the child was born and ended up putting the baby up for adoption. And so begins the legal wrangling and the legal fighting and inbreeding. But, you know, what's happening with that particular case is that the parents or the household that currently holds that child, they are patiently biding their time. Because I guarantee you that by the time that baby is 3 or 4 years of age, you know what their argument is going to be? It's not going to be that we have legitimately adopted the child. Their argument is going to be, she's bonded with us. She's a part of our family now. And what I'm getting to, family, is this. I know that, you know, in too many domestic situations and family situations, men's rights are being cut off left and right, and it's happening. I mean, we have a thing out there that's called alienation. And I don't think it just begins when you have a divorce. I think it begins in the sense where you have unwed fathers out there, like John Wyatt, who was not married to the young lady, but he, in a sense, has been alienated from his child, in fact, taken away from him. You know, with that being said, family, you know, I just think, you know, from my professional and personal opinion, that, you know, we as a country need to look at that. You know, it's wrong. You know, and these things are happening for a reason. They try to justify safe haven laws by saying that the purpose of a safe haven law is to ensure that relinquished infants are left with persons who can provide the immediate care needed for their safety and well-being, which I do agree with. But I think there needs to be more stringent controls and measures set upon these safe haven laws, and especially in situations where you have single mothers who are leaving the state where this child is conceived or where the birth father is known to live and giving these babies up for adoption without the knowledge and consent of the fathers. That is absolutely wrong. And, you know, it's very sad. Wow. So with that being said, family, we're going to keep it moving. We're going to take a fast commercial break over here on this end. Because, yeah, Don Adams Jr. on the Don EOTM Adams Talk Show. Did I say that backwards? We have Don EOTM Adams on the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show talking about adoptions and the safe haven laws that are out there in some of our states. And earlier in the show, family, we were fortunate enough to have Carla B. stop in because we were talking about credit issues and some of the things that credit can keep you out of. And it was very enlightening for Carla B. to give us a call and to chime in with us and to share some of that knowledge that she has in her mind. Believe me, family, she is very, very, very financial savvy. She didn't even scratch the tip of the iceberg. So stick with us, family. We'll be right back. We're going to take a fast break, and then we'll come back. And then we'll wrap it up with I'm giving myself a new name, huh? The John Adams Talk Show. Be right back, family.
Bonnie. bonita. Señorita. Dame un beso. Toca mi vida.
Tell me what you wanna do, or where you wanna go. Ain't no need to rush it, baby, we could take it slow. I swear it must be you be shooting arrows with this bow. I notice in your eyes a certain glow. I'm here wondering, now is it really me, or tell me, do you feel the same? I feel like I'm in love and I don't even know your name. I know what I'm saying to you, mate, I'm pretty lame. Your love is like an everlasting flame. So what this thing called service
love? I really don't know, but you feel it, and I'm like how it goes.
What is in the Mikasa?
I really don't know. From the way that she smiled, I can tell how the story would go. Chica bonita.
You're pretty like a rose.
Mi señorita.
Me love you a pose.
Dame un beso.
Ya done it shows.
Toca mi vida.
And everybody knows.
Chica bonita.
You're pretty like a rose.
Mi señorita.
Me love you a pose.
Dame un beso.
Ya done it shows. And everybody knows, lovely lady, would you please give me your signal so I know you understand? Maybe I should stop by making gestures with my hand. Girl, you're like a rising star and I'm your biggest fan. My feet bonita diva with the tan. Got me thinking, baby, we could make our life together on the ocean shore. Paradise is where you are, I'm ready to explore. Can't ever get enough of you, it's all about amour. And happiness is knocking at your door. So what's this thing called service?
I really don't know.
And what this thing got me, Gaza?
I really don't know. From the way that she got, I can tell how the story would go.
Chica
bonita.
You're pretty like a rose.
Señorita.
Me love all you oppose.
Dame un beso.
Y'all done it show.
Toca mi vida.
And everybody knows.
Chica bonita.
You're pretty like a rose.
Señorita.
Me love all you oppose.
Dame un beso.
Y'all done it show.
Toca mi vida.
And everybody knows.
Welcome back to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. We chopped it up today about the credit issues and how credit is destroying us, I mean, and working against us in so many different ways. We don't even know where it's coming from. We can't get certain types of jobs. We can't live in certain places. You can't even have the utilities turned on if you got bad credit. Man, and guess what? Here's the kicker right here. Your insurance premiums on your vehicle are determined by your credit. Isn't that something? Family, we talked about the adoption. Somewhere we touched on the adoption practices of, I guess, Utah in particular, and some of the safe haven laws that are going on in this country as far as people being able to drop their kids off, which I'm on the fence about. You know, and some folks may argue and say, well, it's a good thing that they do that because that way it keeps people from dropping the babies off and leaving them in places where they'd be in danger. Well, I kind of think everybody needs to step up to the plate just be made to take care of their babies, not just drop them off somewhere. But either way, family, it's all good. But I wanted to also put a shout out there for Carla B and thank her for tuning in with us tonight, too. She shared a wealth of information with us, family, about your credit. Some wonderful things about how you can fix your credit, get your credit going, work on some things. And also she mentioned a key term, credit triggers. Family, look it up, you know, look it up, because EOTM is about empowerment, family, and I think that, you know, all of what she had to say was very empowering. So with that being said, family, I want to invite you all also out to spend some time with me this Friday. Hopefully I'll have some of the Miss Black Georgia contestants on with me this Friday discussing some of their platform ideas and information that they are standing up for as well. But in any event, if we don't, Friday night, as you all know, are my call in and shout your business out days. If you have a business and you want to put your ideas out there, hey, let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. And you can give us a call, and we can go ahead and, you know, work it from that angle and let you shout your business out and hopefully, you know, get you some positive feedback from that. With that being said, if for some reason I don't get the Miss Georgia, Miss Black Georgia contestants on, and guess what, family? Friday night show is going to be an exciting show because you know what? We're going to talk about when is the ex really an ex? When are you going to stop sleeping with your ex? That's what I want to know. When are you going to stop giving your ex the goods? Huh? Talk to me, family. So with that being said, we'll see you all on Friday night. And I want to put something out there for you since we're talking about babies and exes. And I want to leave this on your mind, family. Have a baby by me. Don't forget, EOTM is about empowerment, enlightenment, education, all that other great stuff. I'll see y'all Friday night.
Have a baby by me, baby, be on welfare. Have a baby by me, baby, be on welfare. Have a baby by me, baby, be on welfare. Be on welfare, be on welfare. Have a baby by me, baby, be on welfare. Have a baby by me, baby, be on welfare. Have a baby by me, baby, be on welfare. Be on welfare, be on welfare. Wanna take me to court? No money, no clue where I'm living. Better get food stamps real quick. Now listen, damn, I know you hate me. You know I'm a worthless ass nigga. Got you pregnant on purpose. I told you I'd get you. You know that I'm whack. You got a newborn baby. It ain't mine. My excuse, I use daily. Her DNA, it match my DNA. So we be fussing. You saying I'm the worst dad? Ain't catch it for me. Single parent. Now man, you got a job with benefits. Better start using it. Cause I'm broke, baby. I see you lonely, baby. I had your head spinning, saying slack so crazy.
Mean.